The Lord bless you, my sweet friends. I have some very important things to share with you. We now have an addition to the binding prayer, and it's not something that I need to put up. It's just a technique that I want to give to you so that we do this in the best possible way. And you can incorporate this as you pray the prayer each day. I believe Holy Spirit has quickened this to me and that it needs to be done. So that's why I'm bringing it up to you. When we're praying for deliverance, the binding prayer, we need to pray in Christ's authority, in which we are totally convinced when we declare his name that we are his family and we have the rights to this name. If it becomes rote and we get tired of saying it or we're not paying attention when we say it, it's not going to carry the same force of authority that it will when we declare it with our full hearts, minds, and voices focused on it. Not violently, but in such a way that you are thoroughly convinced his name is above all other names, and every demon must bow to that name. So we need to establish exactly who he is to us when we say his name. When you say in the name of Jesus, it can very easily become rote to the point where you really don't declare his name with full attention and intention. To offset this tendency, to numb out when we pray this part of the prayer, I want you to begin to declare something about him that will call your attention to the true meaning of his name. For instance, this is what I've been doing. In the name above all names, Jesus Christ, and then the prayer. In the name of the Son of the living God, creator of heaven and earth. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, to whom every knee will bow and every tongue confess. In the name of the mighty one, Jesus, our Lord. In the name above all names in heaven and on earth, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the name of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, I command you, and then you go into the prayer. In the name of Jesus, my spouse, King of heaven and earth, I command you, evil spirits. And then you say the rest of the prayer. And I've noticed an increase in effectiveness doing this way. And certainly it gives more honor to him. So when you do this, you're declaring who he is to you and to all of creation, to those demons, and appropriating his mighty name, which you have the right to use against evil. You are taking authority with intention, rather than repeating the name above all names in a manner that is somewhat dulled to the power in that name. We all can take familiar things in a superficial way after a time. And I'm not saying that the name of Jesus has no effect when you say it. Of course not. But when we're a little numb in praying the prayer, what I am saying is that we're praying without strong intention. So in full awareness of the power of the name, we declare to the demons, we're focused. Not just shooting scattershot. The Lord told us that we must pray the binding prayer with intention. In other words, if you're thinking about something else, you're distracted and not pinning the demons down with the full force of your intention. I catch myself doing that frequently, and when I do, I go back and pray that passage of the binding prayer again until I know I was seriously intent on them obeying and not saying it half-heartedly. So when you pray the binding prayer, do it with full intention, conviction, and even ask the warring angels to enforce it. In this way, what you say with your mouth, you believe in your heart, and it's a done deal. And I wanted to bring up a prayer for nightmares because we've had a few people who've been suffering from those. Every night I pray over Ezekiel, and he prays over me. In the name of Jesus, I call upon the holy angels to surround and protect our sleep, to surround and protect us from all intruders, projections, and every evil. Amen. And And this prayer works very well. When we don't pray it, it's not good. So I do remember to pray it. Also, make sure you don't have any calling cards for the demons in your house. A calling card is anything that originated from a contaminated demonic source, especially opening the door to evil by its content. You'll find that in the newspaper, in magazines, music, videos, articles, native art, anything like that can open the door. I don't allow newspapers or magazines in my house. Make sure your house is clean and ask Holy Spirit to reveal to you any open doors. And if you've got teenagers, oh boy, you've got a lot of open doors, unless they're very holy, that is. And that's pretty rare. And even when they are holy, sometimes they just won't agree with you that something's bad because they'll feel deprived and they have to give it up. So I also want to mention to you that we're working on keeping the drives and CDs up on Amazon. We're trying to set a limit on our price. They want to increase it. So we're working on a sale, so to speak, to keep it where it belongs. We don't want any profit on this. Unfortunately, on the books, we have to play by their rules, and we don't have a choice. Okay, I also want to tell you that I'm getting some wonderful first-hand instruction from the Lord by using the Rapture Was Real book for a rhema every day. And here's an example I'd like to share with you. As you all know, the Lord has commissioned me to do a painting of Him that really conveys the intimate feelings, the intimate and pure feelings He has for His bride. And I got this rhema yesterday in the evening before I went to bed, and it was all about the painting. And I had just come back from the art store and gotten some more materials that I needed because I was going to work in a different medium than I had thought. I was real excited to get started on it. And what do I open to in the Rapture Was Real book? I'll read it to you. This was from March the 28th, 2015. Tonight, when I was with him and he was holding me so tenderly and showing me the many faces that I've adored him in, probably three different faces that I really feel capture his personality and his moods and just his gentleness. And when he began to appear to me more as in the Shroud of Turin, the pictures by Ray Downing, I was a little uncomfortable with it because I hadn't seen him that way before. Tonight, as he held me, it's like his face morphed into all these different images that I'm so fond of portraying him as well as the Ray Downing one, the one from the Shroud of Turin. Thank you, Lord, for holding me so tenderly and showing me the many faces I have adored you in and melding them into one. Before I tell you what he said, I just want you to know I don't worship a picture. I worship the Lord Jesus, and he has a face, and he has a look, and there are pictures that resemble him. And when I look at that picture, I'm not worshiping the picture or the paper or the photograph or the art. I'm worshiping him and his presence. And this is something that's been grossly misunderstood and misrepresented from the scriptures. Going back to where it was first stated, in Exodus chapter 20, it is written in verse 4, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God." Now, according to Webster's Dictionary, a graven image is a carved idol, a representation of a god, used as an object of worship. In other words, the worship of idols representing gods was forbidden, but not the images themselves. So a graven image was the likeness of a god used in worship. The scriptures say nothing about statues and pictures in general being forbidden. Only when they represent a false god and are worshipped. And the proof of that is substantiated in 1 Kings chapter 7. And just to be clear about the timing of this, Exodus was written 1,400 years before Christ, and 1 Kings was written 840 years later. And this is when the Temple of Solomon was being constructed, where Solomon was instructed to build a sea constructed out of metal, a very large bowl 25 feet from rim to rim and 12 feet high. This sea was set on 12 carved bulls, and it could contain 12,000 bathfuls of water. Stands were also made out of bronze with lions, bulls, and cherubim within them. That's 1 Kings chapter 7. So it is lawful to have an image of God, a painting or a statue. You are not worshiping the object you're looking at. You are worshiping the God who is represented in the image. So that should clarify and help you to understand what the scriptures really say about photographs and statues. He's talking about people who made little demon images and would sit there and worship them. So going back to what we're talking about here. Thank you, Lord, for holding me so tenderly and showing me the many faces I have adored you in and melding them into one beautiful face. Jesus answered me, "My bride, I didn't want you to feel alienated from me. I truly am represented in all those images of me. Yes, indeed, the pictures you have used capture unique facets of my person, and I have no objection to you using them. I only want for you to be acquainted with my actual face, so that you will in no way be shocked when you finally see me." So that is the rhema that I got from the Rapture Was Real book. And right at the point where I'm working on the true face of Jesus and how he wants himself represented and portrayed. And I can't tell you how many times the Lord has spoken to me through that book over some issue that I was struggling with. When I open it, it's like he started speaking to me all over again, just in that moment. And he's been instructing and reminding me through it. It works amazingly well, so much so that we're considering a second edition with all the new messages that aren't in the old one. And there's no rush on that book. The more of the rush is on the thumb drives and the CDs. Okay, well, the Lord has again brought something up to me about healing. In my earlier videos, I share with you the formula for a miracle of healing. And this is the formula: a Christian praying in faith and a sick person equal a miracle of healing from God. No big words, no long tirades, or even any words at all. Simply the intention of the heart, laying hands on the person and allowing God to touch them from inside of you, where Jesus lives. He reaches right through you guys, right through your arm, to touch whoever you touch. There are different ways to pray, but this is the very essence of what is necessary. Jesus does all the rest. But sometimes we want to take authority over our family members and cast off the demons, and then asking Holy Spirit to come and restore their bodies. We have absolute authority over our husbands and wives and children. Husbands have authority. Wives have authority. As it is written, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife. That's 1 Corinthians 7. And Jesus listens to the cries of the little children as well. When we pray for healing, we must pray with intention. Here I was addressing a friend who's a retired military man and has a very sick wife. I said to him, "You have the power of Christ living, breathing, and being in you. When you lay hands on your wife, which is your territory, where you have supreme authority under Christ, when you lay hands on her, You are enforcing your rights as a husband over his wife. You are taking back what Satan has encroached on and stating your rights and making him let go of her and cease and desist, just as much as if you'd authorized an air attack on the enemy's position. You have that authority, and you can always call upon the holy warring angels to back up every single word of your prayer. We are seeing amazing results from that, guys. When I pray for Ezekiel before it gets really bad, I address the organs involved and command them under the authority of Christ, through whom all things are created, to function as God intended. I speak directly to inflammation to stand down, nerve endings to be silent, scars to disintegrate, blockages to move, intestines to dilate, heart to normalize, liver to function properly. I speak directly to the organs. This is just another technique of prayer that I'm giving to you, and I'm adding it to the one I talked about before, which is just a simple laying on of hands. The only time I pray intensely for mercy is when the other prayers didn't bring the desired result. Then I'm appealing directly to God to intervene and reveal His mercy to us through the soul that I'm praying for. He loves to do that. He loves to answer that prayer. So in other words, when the other prayers don't seem to be yielding results, I resort to this prayer. I do lay hands on Ezekiel. I beg the Lord for mercy. Mercy, Lord, mercy. And He takes away some of the suffering, some of the pain, and gives Ezekiel the strength that he needs to keep going. Then I ask the Holy Spirit to please come and bring healing and restoration to these body parts and cause them to function again properly. Then I ask Holy Spirit, please come and bring healing and restoration to these body parts and cause them to function again properly. I pray you will all take these instructions to heart, and I want to hear about the miracles when they happen. Okay, now I have something really fun to share with you. I have a wonderful announcement to make concerning our website. Thanks to our dedicated tech team, we now have a page with Rhemas that come up randomly when you click on the Rhema button on our website at heartdwellers.org. There are over 500 different words programmed in, and eventually there will be 1,000. We believe that Holy Spirit will choose the right word for you when you click on the Rhema button, and that it will give you some counsel from Him for the day. The graphic frame, by the way, for the words when they appear is a Celtic theme from the early Christians in Ireland who believed the wild goose represented Holy Spirit. So that's why the goose is delivering the message. In order to access this new page, just go to our site, heartdwellers.org, and look for the Rhema button at the top. Click on that, and the page with a fresh, random word will come up. Enjoy. We've been using this for months on another site, and it has amazing results. Do this prayerfully, expecting a word from Holy Spirit. And please don't overdo it and get into curiosity, fear, and confusion. Take no more than 3 words at a time, or you could get into the wrong motive and get spiritual indigestion, not understanding what is being said. Do everything from a motive of faith that God is with you. Never allow a motive of fear to control you. You can use this site much as you do the Bible Promise book for getting a Rhema. But instead of opening the book, you're clicking on a button and trusting Holy Spirit to give you His word for you. And when you do get a word, let Holy Spirit quicken its meaning to you. You can also set your browser to this page when it opens, and you'll have a fresh Rhema every time you open your browser. And boy, I'll tell you what, the Lord has warned me about some things that were coming when I've done that. I save my rhemas in a folder just for future reference. So please, go on over to our site and enjoy this new feature. We love it. I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and pray that the richness of His wisdom will dwell in you and His grace will give you strength to do His will forever. Amen.